Colossians 1, verse 10. Paul said in verse number 9, he was praying for the church at Colossae that they would have the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And there's a reason for that, so that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It means that he has made us qualified. We who were unqualified, God makes us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for Joyce this morning and for Sister Huddler, Diane, and we pray for Rose Goodman, who had the bunion surgery on her foot, and Joyce with the cataract surgeries. And Lord, there are several people home sick today, like Cindy with breathing trouble. Jimmy had the flu, and he's back today. And Lord, there's just a lot of folks that this change in the weather and seasonal things have, rain and wetness have caused numerous people to have pneumonia or the flu or bad colds or sinus infections. And we know how uncomfortable those things are. And Lord, we pray you would protect your people. We know that every good gift comes down from above. So we ask for your help, and we offer you our praise and our thanks for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I closed in the morning message from Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 17. We didn't do all those verses, but that was the text of the message. We are like the believers at Colossae. We're to set our affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Peter said we are a holy priesthood and a royal people, a chosen people, to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we're to live as strangers and pilgrims in this world. Believers are forever different once you receive Christ as your Savior. And the progress of our Christian life should make us more and more different from the present world we live in that is governed by the lusts of the flesh and the sinful nature that the unbelievers have. Now, we look at this text this morning, it's comparing the spiritual versus the carnal. It is the permanent matters of life, the eternal matters, versus the temporal things of this world. As I've used that expression many times, everything in this world will rust, bust, and collect dust, and it's all going to pass away one day. Our focus needs to be on what's eternal, what's everlasting, what is permanent, and not on the temporary things. We're to use temporary things to make our life better, but we're to love God and we're to love people in the name of God, and we've got to keep that separate or we get in trouble. There's a list of things we looked at last week that are dead to us as Christians: fornication and sexual sins and unclean inordinate affections, passionate desires for any kind of wrong or evil, covetousness and lust. We're to put those off as if they're a dirty garment that we've used up, and now we're to put on the robe of righteousness that is given unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has granted us his righteousness, while at the same time when he died on the cross, he took our sins and filthy garment and put them upon himself to be the sin substitute for us, and then now he grants us his righteousness to be accepted by the Father. We went on to see there was a second list that was given there that were to put away from us anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of our mouth and lies. Those are characteristics of the old nature. not the new man that we have become by the grace of God. We follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It's the symbol of the washing away of our sins and being raised to new life, just like Christ died on the cross, was buried, and then rose again from the dead. We have risen with Him to a new life, and we should walk in newness of life. I love these expressions about walking because that deals with the believer's daily life, how to live our daily life. God wants us to live it worthy of the Lord, pleasing unto Him. And every believer, if you learn how much God loves you and what God has done for you and what He's doing on your behalf, it should cause you to love Him more and desire to be pleasing to Him in how you live your daily life. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy to live for Him in your daily life. This world fights against you all the time. There are struggles at every turn and lures at every turn to draw us away from our focus on God and the things of the Lord. First of all today, the motivation for our daily walk to be worthy of the Lord, pleasing and fruitful in every good work. To be filled with the knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding equips us so that we might walk the daily walk that pleases God. To be filled is to be controlled by, just like being filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. He's not a liquid. You don't get a gallon of Him today and 5 gallons later on to be more filled with the Spirit. No, it is when He controls us that we are yielded to Him. Our mind is being controlled. Our eyes are being controlled. Our hands are being controlled. When we're totally yielded to God to be controlled by Him, then we're filled with the Spirit. And we're to be filled with the knowledge of God and with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, knowledge in verse number 9, the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding was Paul's prayer. And that word knowledge is epignosis. It means a deep, thorough knowledge. It is something that we gain as we study the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, that we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. Now, Paul's prayer and admonition for Colossae about these things, he also repeated to Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 5, to Ephesus in chapter 1 and verse number 17, to Philippi in chapter 1 and verse number 9, and now here to Colossae, and I believe to us as well. The desire is for us to know these things that we might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, the society we live in is progressively denying the absolutes of the Word of God. They grow in their lack of submission to God, the honor of God, the respect of God. Many in our government would have us do away with any knowledge of God whatsoever. Thanks be to God for those who do not believe that way and who see that this nation has been blessed because of our relationship with God and that we draw close to Him because of that. God's Word's the authority by how we are to live. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That word power is the word for authority. All power of authority as a king is given to Christ to make any decisions and every decision and His will to be done. And He's our authority. Godly living requires a deep, thorough knowledge of God's Word. It's tough to live life and face all the things you don't know how to have the answers for. And a study of the Word of God will equip you to answer those things more and more as you grow as a Christian. The doctrinal absolutes of God's Word must not be compromised. We must not allow the desire to get along with people to cause us not to take a stand on what the Bible says. I take a stand before anybody that the Bible is very clear. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. I can't compromise with somebody who has another religion. I can't compromise with somebody who believes in works for salvation or things like that. No, the Bible's very clear there's only one way for a man to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. And there are many doctrines of the Bible like that that we cannot compromise with others simply because they do not believe as we believe. We cannot place them on an equal plane with us because they're not on an equal plane. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Now, do we have the desire to live a godly life that's pleasing to the Lord? As Christians, we should have. And the more we know about God, the more we ought to desire to please Him and do what's acceptable in His sight. If we gain that deep, thorough knowledge of the Bible, then we should know God better than we did before. We should be growing in our progress with the Lord, able to share God's Word with others, whether it's in a conversation on an airplane or in a doctor's office, or if it's in our home teaching our children or whatever it may be, that we're getting equipped to be able to know God better than we did before. Now, in verse 10 through 12, the reason I focused on these particular verses is because in the Greek language, there are four participles that emphasize the verb in this passage of Scripture. These four participles, a participle is a verbal form, but is both a verb and an adjective. It applies to something to magnify or modify it. In English, a present participle ends in ing, and a past participle usually ends with either ed or en. And these describe what happens when. First of all, when we're filled with the knowledge and spiritual understanding of God, this gives the believer what is called discernment, the ability to know right from wrong, the ability to immediately connect what is being said with the Bible, and we weigh everything that people teach, especially about religion, with what the Word of God has to say. And the better we have a deep, thorough knowledge of the Word of God, the better we're going to know immediately if something is right or wrong with God's Word. Now, these four participles are, number one, bringing forth fruit. In verse 10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The second one is increasing or growing in our knowledge of God. The third one is in verse 11, strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. And if we are strengthened, the result is in verse number 11, patience, long-suffering, joyfulness are results of the power of God working in the life of a believer who begins to learn and know the will of God. And then fourthly, in verse number 12, giving thanks. To Him who has qualified us or made us meet, who has, by His grace, granted us a position with the saints in light. We got a lot to look forward to, my friends. And that's why we need to focus on what's above and not on the troubles and trials and problems of living this life. You say, preacher, do you do that perfectly? Absolutely not. There's not a bigger whiner and complainer and groaner and murmurer than me. But I can't do that long because the Lord reminds me that's not what He wants to hear. He wants to hear praise and thanks for all the blessings that we have and all the benefits that He has given unto us. So we look here at being filled with the knowledge of wisdom and spiritual understanding, so we walk worthy, being fruitful in every good work is the first participle. More we know and understand, the more our walk should demonstrate evidently that we're becoming a mature believer, a disciple of Christ, a knowledgeable witness for the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, bearing fruit is a term that the Bible applies to several things. And I won't go there for the time's sake, but in John 15 and verse 1 through 8, it says that Jesus is the vine, that we must stay connected to the vine, or we can do nothing of ourselves. We need His strength and His power to produce fruit for God. And one of those fruits is converts of Christianity. To produce fruit is to produce disciples, to make disciples for Christ. Paul spoke of the first fruits of Achaia, the converts who believed in 1 Corinthians 16. In Romans 1:13, he spoke of a desire to have fruit among the Romans. Paul wanted to come there and preach the Bible and see people saved. He wanted to see people fulfill their knowledge of Christ as the Messiah and therefore become a completed Jew who knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Praise is a part of the fruit that we produce. Hebrews 13:15, it's the spiritual sacrifice of the priesthood of a believer to offer the praise of his lips. So we're a part of the priesthood of believers, and one of the sacrifices we offer is not an animal sacrifice, but the praise of our lips unto God. In Romans 15, verse 26 through 28, a financial offering, a missionary offering that was given to those in need was fruit that these people would benefit from who were giving because of their obedience unto God. And then righteousness is called the peaceable fruit that results from God's discipline in a believer's life. When God disciplines us to draw us close to Him and back to the straight and narrow path, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And then, of course, we know the fruit of the Spirit. Those nine graces the Bible attributes to one who the Holy Spirit is working through their life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And these things are the characteristics of a Christian life. And this is the first participle in this passage of Scripture. Secondly, growing or increasing in the knowledge of God. Peter said, like a newborn babe, we're to desire the Word of God like a baby desires milk. And a baby desires milk. I'll tell you, we have four children, and now we've got 13 grandchildren, and I've seen it with every one of them. In the middle of the night, if they wake up and they're hungry, they're going to wake you up. They're going to let you know. They're going to cry. They're going to pitch a fit. You're going to think that baby is dying. What's wrong with him? Stick a bottle in his mouth and shut up that quick, you know. He's hungry. He has to be fed to grow. He has to have nutriments. He has to have the vitamins. He has to have the milk in order to grow. And as Christians, we're to have the same desire for God's Word so that we can grow to maturity and serve the Lord with our life. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy and said one of those efforts of growth comes from study of the Word of God, a diligent effort of study in 2 Timothy 2:15. We must not get satisfied where we are in the Christian life. You talk to many people out here in the world who would tell you, I'm a believer. I'm not a good one, but I believe. And, you know, I know there's been a time when I got saved, but I'm not going to church or not living for the Lord as close as I should or things. People are often honest to you if you're a stranger. And the problem with that is too many people in this life are satisfied where they are. They don't want to change. I don't want to interrupt their schedule with having to go to church on Sunday or with having to read their Bible every day or having to spend time in prayer every day. They pray when they eat, and they pray when they have a need, and they pray when somebody's in the hospital needing surgery. They'll pray. But routinely, there's no definite time frame where they spend time with God. And because of that, they won't grow. It takes time and effort to become a mature believer. Every believer ought to have a good Bible, a good study Bible. And every believer ought to read their Bible every day. I think it's a small thing that God's people would read the Bible through every year. That does not require a tremendous amount of time. When you compare it to the time spent in so many other things we do, it's a very small block of time to read your Bible every day so that you can read the whole Bible through every year. Now, if you've been saved for 30, 40, 50 years and you've been reading your Bible through every day, if you want to change up and do book studies and read Proverbs every day for 30 days and do stuff like that, that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that because God can speak to you through His Word to draw you into study of something else. And that's often how it takes place. I think every believer ought to have a good study Bible. I believe every believer ought to have a good dictionary to look up words. Most everybody's got a Webster's dictionary. You can look up an awful lot of your Bible words in the English language in the dictionary. But if you buy yourself a concordance that's $25 probably, you can look up all the words of the Bible in the Hebrew in the Old Testament or the Greek in the New Testament and how they're applied in each verse of Scripture where they're used. How many times that particular word is translated differently in other passages of Scripture. And you gain knowledge through these things. You can teach your children better at home the Word of God. You can teach your Sunday school class better with knowledge. You can share with other people how to be saved in a more confident way if you're a mature believer studying the Scripture and growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. There are a lot of commentaries. If you're going to seriously teach, you're probably going to need some commentaries. And the thing to remember with commentaries is the goal is not to learn what that particular person thinks. It's what God's words say. We use them as an aid or a tool not to be indoctrinated by. And it's important we always seek God's answer, not men's opinions. Joshua was told by God in the first book of Joshua, first chapter of Joshua, that to find his way successful was to meditate in the Word of God every day and night. And he would find his way successful and prosperous. And I think everybody wants to be successful and they want their way to be prosperous. And the Bible gives you the way for that to happen by studying the Word of God. I'd like to spend more time there, but there's a third participle I want to get to in verse number 11 of Colossians chapter 1. Gaining strength in the power of God. Knowledge is power. The more knowledge you have, the more you can make the right choices and decisions. And that is powerful. God gives us His Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the abilities to do more. And if you do more, you want more. You want to please God more. You want to know more. You want to be able to teach more. And God, who's almighty and omnipotent, is the source of our power. Not just how much I know, because what I know always has to be submitted unto God. And His power is what we need. He grants the disciple to be filled with the knowledge of His will and spiritual understanding, the ability to walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, to bear fruit unto God, to increase in the knowledge of God, and to have the power to obtain certain things. In our text here, he shows endurance, patience, long-suffering. Mature believers are known by their faithfulness and their steadfastness to God. And they're known by long-suffering. The Greek word is makrothumia. The difference in that and the word for patience, hupomone, is patience deals with trials and endurance. Long-suffering deals with people, dealing with people, to be long-tempered in dealing with people. We've got plenty of teachers and workers and church members who probably need a little more long-temperedness with some of the little kids in the church. And some of the little kids in the church need what Billy Sunday said. They're like a canoe. They travel in the direction they're paddled from the rear. And we got kids that run all over the church and get into everything and do all kinds of things, and we need to supervise them well. But as adults, we don't need to lose our temper with them. We don't lose our patience with them. We need to understand they're not trying to be harmful. They're just being a kid. And kids need supervision to do the right things. We see God grants us power to handle life's trials and be patient, to endure, to go through the trial, to deal with people in the right way who are going through the trials. The power to be joyful, not depressed or angry or any of those kind of things. And then fourthly, giving thanks. We know God loves us. We know God is working through us. We know God wants for us what is best. He blesses us in so many ways. If we think about that, we ought to be thankful for that. We're not to worry and fret over things in this world and be anxious, but we're to pray with thanksgiving and supplication unto God and let our requests be made known unto Him. Thankful we're allowed to pray. Thankful that we're encouraged to pray. God's never too busy. God never says, wait a little while. I ain't got time to deal with you. You know, stand in line. God never deals with us like that. God wants you to pray for your needs to be met. He wants you to believe Him for big prayers and to believe that He is able and He wants to help you and bless you, and pray that way. Be thankful that you can. Thankful we live and move and have our being by God's grace. Thankful He's qualified us, made us meet for a portion of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's present tense. We have that now, and it's going to continue as we go home to be with the Lord. Now, sadly, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, and Ephesians 5, 5, reminds us that the unrighteous will not share in the inheritance. The immoral and unrighteous and impure have no inheritance to look forward to. It is those who've been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ that have the evidence in their life, who believe what the Bible says about Christ and have received Him as their Lord and Savior. And there should be evidence in their daily life. The longer we've been saved, the more we ought to grow, the more we ought to study, the more we ought to draw close to God. And that will equip us for what we're going to face throughout all the trials and tests of life. It's important that somebody knows the way. Does your family know how to get to heaven? Do they know how to live for God? Do they know how to avoid the troubles and trials of life? They may be following you. And it's important that we don't lead people astray, but we lead them to God and lead them to the answers. And the more we know, the better equipped we'll be to do that. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here today. We ask You to bless this invitation, and we pray in Jesus' name. Beautiful poinsettias up here.